Turn to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. Chapter 14, we'll begin reading in verse 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness for 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the Bible that you have written, the scriptures which you have preserved. We believe them to be true and inerrant and perfect. And Lord, we read this sobering passage of scripture, Lord, And Lord, I just pray that you'd speak to us this morning through your word. And amen. Lord, I just thank you again for a good day. Thank you for these faithfulness of these people and their coming out. And Lord, I pray that you bless our time again in your name. Amen. All right. So here we are. We got the children of Israel. Most of us familiar with the story. They came out of Egypt, seen all the miracles of God. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, Vlad. All right. We're on. We're electric. All right. Let's read it all again. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Children of Israel, seen all the miracles that God had to do in Egypt. He brought all the ten plagues. We've heard it all before. He led them out of Egypt, leading them to the promised land. He parted the Red Sea. He brought bread from heaven. He brought quail in, more than they could handle themselves. He gave them clothes and shoes and blessed them and led them a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. He delivered the Egyptian army. Swallowed them up in the sea, the Red Sea. I never forget the time when I was in the Navy and our ship was going through the Red Sea. And I went out and stood on the lifeline. I wasn't saved yet, you know, but I had the Bible upbringing and all and hadn't been saved yet. But I went out and stood, and one of my chiefs was standing out on the lifeline and we were just kind of looking out at the sea. And I just kind of said, I wonder if this is where the children of Israel crossed. And he just kind of looked at me and he goes, never thought of that. But it's just kind of gives you a chill almost, you know, think they're like, oh, this is the Red Sea, man. This is neat. I've read about this. But all the miracles that these people had seen and what they, the miracles that God had wrought in their lives, providing them water and food whenever they needed it. And here they come to the crossing over to the promised land. They send in the spies, of course, and you see, and what happened, 10 were bad and 2 were good. You know, 10 came back and said, oh, there's grapes, there's milk, the land flows with milk and honey. However, there's giants in the land, there's walled cities, there's no way we're going to be able to conquer this land, there's no way possible. It's just, I can't believe God would lead us here. But the 2 came back and said, we can do this. Have you seen what God has done? Have you so soon forgotten the miracles that God has wrought in our lives? And they decided to follow the 10. And God got ticked off. for lack of better terms. He got angry with them and said, all right. For the amount of days that the spies were in the land, for 40 days, that many years you're going to wander in the wilderness. You're going to turn away. You want to mess with me? That's just fine. You're going to go wander in the wilderness. And everybody, all the people that are 20 years and older are going to die. All the people that murmured against me, all the people that you're going to follow these 10 guys instead of following me, that's fine. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to go out in the wilderness for 40 years, and you're going to come back to this spot again. And all you people that murmured against me are going to be gone. We're going to have a whole new group of people. So let's turn over to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Verse 1. Joshua 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So here they are, 40 years later. The same people, they'd wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and now stood once again at the Jordan River with the opportunity of following God into the promised land. Here they are, standing there once again. Most of these people were teenagers or kids the last time they were at this spot. And now they're old. They probably have families of their own, new kids, new children, a whole new generation of kids, a whole new generation of Israelites. What had this group learned that the previous group hadn't learned? Why is this time any different than the last? What had these people learned in their wilderness wanderings that's going to make a difference in their life now that they're going to be able to cross in Jordan and the others weren't? What's different? Let's take a look at that. Let's go to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Entitled this, On the Precipice of the Promised Land. On the Precipice of the Promised Land. Psalm 118, this is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. You got the 117 before, which is the shortest chapter in the Bible, and 119 afterwards, the longest chapter in the Bible. It's also the verse 8 is the middle verse in the Bible. And the middle words of the Bible are the Lord. You can't get any better than that. And verse 8 says, It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Number one, their way, they'd learned that their way wasn't better than God's way. The people they'd seen before them, they'd noted that the whole time, maybe it had been passed down through the ages, all the things that God had done for them in the land of Egypt. How He delivered them and brought them out and led them and fed them and performed miracles in their lives. They also stood by while their parents listened to the 10 people and made complaints about, there's giants in the land, there's walled cities, we don't have a chance against these people. Why are we going to do this? And now they've learned. They've been in the wilderness for 40 years and they've watched these people die. They've watched parents and grandparents and children and siblings, older siblings pass away. And they've learned not only is God's way better than our way, but they learned that is better to put the trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. You know, we go through this world, and we've been involved in churches, and I know some people here have been involved in churches, and we see it on TV. There's a lot of man worship going on today. A lot of people following man and what they say. They're taking man's word over the word of God. And that's a mistake. That's a huge mistake. You think you got a better... I go to which church do you go to? I go to this church because so-and-so is the pastor. Really? Do they teach the Word of God? Well, I don't know, but he's the pastor. You know, it's a big name. I go to that church, what's his name? The big guy down in Georgia. Blinky. What's his name? Osteen, yeah. Yeah, I go to his church. They meet, did you know they meet in an old Atlanta Hawks stadium? So what? What are you learning? Is he preaching the Word of God? Or are you just excited because I'm at Joel Osteen's church? Think about that. I go to this church because so-and-so's the pastor, or it's a famous church. Big deal. We got 10,000 on Sunday mornings. What are you learning? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. These people were standing at the precipice, crossing over into the promised land once again, and they had seen it firsthand, and they have learned God's way is better than my way. I need to trust God better than man. All the naysayers were gone. All the people who doubted God and murmured against God. We hear it all through the when they come out of Egypt, we hear it, the bitter water, and we're thirsty, and we're hungry. You just saw the Red Sea parted, and your stomach is growling, and you're worried about your stomach growling. That's amazing. You just saw the whole Egyptian army swallowed up in the sea, but you skipped breakfast. That's amazing. What's your problem here? But they see now all those people are gone. God kept His word. He said they're going to die in the wilderness, and they did. They're standing at that very spot, possibly where God said, "Fine, you want it your way, you have it your way. Turn around and go that way. You're not going into the promised land I got for you." All they had left. These people were standing in the same spot, and all they had left was God. Okay, you've led us this far. You've provided our meals. You've kept our clothes and sandals. It says in Deuteronomy, it says they had the same clothes and sandals they had on, and they hadn't wore one bit. He had provided their food. He had taken care of them and led them up to the spot where now, once again, they have an opportunity to go across into the promised land. All the excuses are gone. All the naysayers are gone. All they have left is trust in God. He had kept His word. All the people were gone. All the people had died. How many of you are struggling today with salvation? How many of you today, I see a lot of people that are regular members here, and I can't pass it up. You may be somebody who has not been saved yet. It has to be said. How many of you stand at the brink of passing over and saying, "Okay, I'm going to trust Christ, and I'm going to do it," but you just stand there and you have an excuse. Or somebody's telling you, "Oh, it's not going to be worth it." Or you're going to be made fun of. How many of you are struggling with the will of God, where He wants you in His life, or you know what God wants you to do, and you don't want to cross over because, well, I have to leave my family, I have to leave the country, or I have to go somewhere where my mom and dad aren't. Are you going to trust mom and dad, or are you going to trust God? How many of you are wanting to make decisions for your family to lead them in the right direction, but you just can't quite find the time? Or just you can't give up something that you've got going on now to make your family that much closer, that much better of a Christian, and that much closer to the Lord. Maybe it's time to cross over. Maybe it's time to make the decision and get rid of all the excuses that we're making for things in our lives that are more important than what man has to offer. So they had learned that God's way was better than our way. It's better to trust in the Lord and put confidence in man. Turn over to Numbers again. Numbers chapter 14, where we started. Numbers chapter 14, verses 28 and 29. "Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that was were numbered with you according to your whole number were 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. They had learned, it was personal. Not only had they learned that not their way wasn't what God wanted, wasn't God's way, but this time it was personal. It was personal. They had watched their mom and dad die in the wilderness. I don't know about you, but my mom and dad are precious to me. That would be a hard thing to see. But God said it would happen. They watched their grandparents pass away, watched them die. I don't know how they died, but I'm sure it wasn't the greatest thing to watch out in the wilderness. They watched their grandparents pass away. They watched their older brothers and sisters who had stood at the river that one day and said, "No, we're not going to go in." And he watched them. They watched them in the wilderness die and pass away. And they've seen it happen. And this is personal now. This isn't just a group thing. This isn't something that he said to the whole congregation. This is personal now because my family's affected by it. This is a personal thing. But that same God that took the lives of their loved ones, took the lives of their moms and dads and their kids and their grandparents, that same God took them under His wing and fed them. That same God clothed them and gave them shoes to wear. He protected them from the enemies. And He answered their prayers. So they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and they came to the river again to cross over into the promised land. And they had a decision to make. Am I going to follow the crowd? Or am I going to follow God? But it wasn't just a group effort. It was a personal decision every one of them had to make. They had seen all their siblings die in the wilderness. They had seen God keep His word. And here they are standing before the river saying, "Am I going to follow the crowd this time or am I going to follow God?" It's a personal decision now because their family was brought into it. In Numbers chapter 15, 32 to 36, we see a man that was gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And the whole congregation of Israel had to take him outside the camp and stone him. They saw that happen. They saw that God meant business. This wasn't a joke. Am I going to follow God or am I going to follow man? Am I going to follow the crowd? Numbers chapter 16, verse 31, we see what happened to Korah and all his buddies and their families. They rebelled against Moses and against Aaron, and the earth opened up and swallowed them up. They saw this happen. It may have been friends of theirs. They may have been close relatives. They knew who they were. They knew these guys. And they saw them rebel against the Lord, and the earth was swallowed up. Now, am I going to follow the crowd or am I going to follow God? They saw in Moses, the leader, the guy who stepped up and led them out of Egypt and led them through the wilderness and listened to their crying and their whining and their murmuring and the arguments they had and kind of like your car this morning, it was just he heard this for how many years? And finally, and they see Moses. Because he got so mad at the whining and crying, he smote the rock instead of speaking to it. And Moses was not allowed to go into the land. That's personal. Their leader, whom they had followed for all these years, he's not going to be able to go into the promised land. It's a personal decision now. How many times do we come to church and we go to work in our daily lives and we compare our lives to people around us. Somebody points something out wrong in our lives and we say, hey, it's not about them, it's about you. It's going to be the same thing. You're not going to stand before God in a crowd of people. You're going to stand before God by yourself. And you're going to have to give an account for yourself before an almighty God for what you did. It's a personal thing with God. Well, I don't care about they. What about you? What did you do with my son? Why didn't you read your Bible more? Why didn't you memorize Scripture? Why didn't you study the Scriptures more? Why didn't you learn to love me more? I'm not talking about the church you went to. I'm talking about you. It's a personal thing with God. And it was a personal thing now for these once children and teenagers that were standing before the River Jordan, seeing their family had died in the wilderness, their own loved ones. Now, am I going to get mad at God for killing my family? Or am I going to accept God for who He is and follow Him? Am I going to follow God now? It's a personal thing. It was a personal thing. Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:25 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." You can follow man all you want, but it's going to lead to a dead end. It's going to lead to death. You can think that your good works are going to get you into heaven one day, but it's going to lead to a dead end. Oh, my son didn't do enough for you when he died on the cross? My son didn't do enough by living a sinless life and taking your sins upon him and dying and raising from the dead, which nobody else ever has done in the history of humanity? He didn't do enough, so now you think by handing out these leaflets it's going to get you a better spot? By saying these Hail Marys and these Our Fathers and all these things is going to get you a better spot? You think that's going to turn the key so the door opens? I'm sorry, but that's wrong. There's a way which seemeth right unto man, and the end thereof are the ways of death. It's time to look in the book and see what the book says. Time to see what God said in His Word and not what some guy said that has a dress on. They made a personal choice to follow God. Here they all were, standing in the river, and it was a personal thing. Not only did they realize that it wasn't our way, it was not as good as God's way, but they realized this is a personal thing now. My family's been brought into this. This is a choice I have to make. Turn over to Joshua chapter 1 again. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Oh, here I was already there and I was turning to another page. All right. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 through 3 again. "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over the Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses." Not only did they realize that their way wasn't as good as God's, not only was it a personal decision to make, but they realized that God gives multiple chances. They stood at the river one day and their parents said, "No, we're not going. We're not going to cross over because we don't want to face giants. We don't want to face walled cities." They weren't the ones that were going to face it. God said, "I will give the land to you. I will go before you. I will be with you. I'll take care of these armies for you. In these cities." They had been given the chance again. It's not too late. It's like God said, it's not too late. All the things that I promised to your parents, I'm going to give you if you just trust me. All the things, all the blessings of the land, the milk and the honey, the grapes, the taking over the land, all the things that I promised you, I'm going to give to you. All the things I promised your parents, I'm going to give them to you. I'm giving you another chance to do it right. How many of you did the same thing with salvation? How many of you took multiple chances? Aren't you thankful for that? It says in 2 Peter where it says, God is long-suffering us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's long-suffering. He gave us chance after chance after chance. And finally, at the age of 29, I realized I have no answers. I have no peace. I have no joy. And if I die right now, I'm going to go to hell. I'm going to split hell wide open because I knew what was right and I didn't accept it. And I accepted Christ that night. Never regretted it. And I'm so thankful that He gave me another chance. Many, many chances. I always hear the phrase, God is the God of a second chance. And the third, and the fourth, and the fifth. How many wake-up calls did it take before you finally shut the alarm off? Amazing thing. They realized God gives multiple chances. All their siblings took that chance, and it was their last chance. They didn't get to cross over. Joshua, in verse 11 of that same chapter, passed through the host and commanded the people, saying, prepare your victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. The same thing He said to their parents. You have the same opportunity your parents did. I don't care if you came from an unsaved home. If you heard the gospel, you were given the chance. You were given another chance. Some people came from a really nasty home, a godless home, parents who didn't give a rip about learning the scriptures or what the Bible had to say. But God somehow saw your heart and gave you, led somebody, some way to give you the gospel and give you that opportunity to accept Christ as your Savior. What did you do with it? Most of you are here. Well, most of you are here. What does that mean? Well, some of you aren't, you know. All right? But everybody here that's accepted Christ took that chance and accepted Christ, crossed over the river and made the choice for Christ. Praise God. One day you get to spend eternity in heaven with Him. Are you here today and you've never done that? God, this is another chance you've been given. There's many people here that have accepted Christ, and if you've never done it, there's many people here that would just love the opportunity to take the Word of God and show you how you can know for sure that Christ is your Savior. This is something only they could do. There again, it's a personal choice. He chose the children of Israel. I was reading about this the other day when He called Abram out, and He said, go into this land, and I'm going to make a great nation out of you. He had nothing else to choose from. He had to start from scratch. Took Abram and his wife and started a whole nation out of it. My people, these are going to be my people. What did he have to choose from? Sodom? Gomorrah? Egypt? There wasn't anything else to choose from. So he created his own country, his own nation. The nation, I'm going to make a great nation out of you and you're going to be my people. This is something only you can do. I need you to do this or it's all done. And they weren't going to question God. You look down at verse 16 through 18. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as that as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he will be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. He said, they all said, okay, we're going to do whatever you tell us to do. As long as God is with you like he was with Moses, we're going to do whatever you say. If somebody rebels against you, we're going to kill them ourselves. We've seen too much. We've learned a lot. We decided we're going to follow God and trust His man to lead us in the right direction. And we're going to trust you no matter what, wherever you tell us to go, we're going to go. Whatever you tell us to do, we're going to do it right to the T. We're with you on this. We're going to cross. We want to cross over. We want to do what God wants us to do. They had learned that because they'd seen it in their parents and the past people that had rejected God and seen what had happened to them. So they come to the river and they say, and what was different now? What was changed? They had seen that their way wasn't as good as God's. That it had become personal now. It was a personal decision they had to make. They also seen that God is a God of multiple chances. He gives us another chance to do what's right. It's just like the illustration I gave Wednesday night with my daughter, teaching her how to ride a bike and pushing her and running and going and going and pushing her and let her pedal for a little bit and fall over. And then go over and say, okay, that's it. We're not going to try anymore. Forget it. That's it. Put the bike away. Sell the bike. Just sell the bike. We don't have a use for it. No. Pick her up, dust her off, put her on the bike, and say, let's try this again. And here they are. The ones that were kids and teens back when their parents rebelled are put back on the bike and said, let's try this again. Let's see if we can get across the river this time. So they had given multiple chances. Then turn same chapter, Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. Last thing they learned. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. They realized, number 4, they knew they had nothing to fear with God on their side. We have nothing to fear. They stood there and said, this same God, yeah, they had probably had some bad memories about their families getting killed in the wilderness. But they also realized that this same God who led us out of Egypt, who brought the plagues, divided the Red Sea, killed the Egyptian army, healed our diseases, gave us the golden serpent when all those snakes were in the camp. Remember that? Yeah, I remember that. That was a bad deal. But all we had to do was look at the serpent. He didn't have to do that, but he did. He healed our wounds. He kept our clothes new and our sandals new. He took care of us. He brought us manna and quail. Remember that? Yeah, this same God, he's the one to lead us. And I think that if we go in here, I think if we trust Him, put all our trust in Him, He's going to take care of us in there too. I think He's going to do that for us. And we go over to the next chapter there in verse 14. It says, and the men answered her. They're talking to Rahab. Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. They realize in that verse, when God gives us land, it's just a matter of time. We know God can do it. We're going to trust Him. He's leading us in land, and when He gives us the land, it wasn't well. If we just happen to win. No. When He gives us the land. This God who led us out is going to lead us in here and we're going to take this land because He said it's going to happen. He said, you will possess the land. So then we look in verse 24, the same chapter, chapter 2. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. They come back to the Israelites and they said, hey, the enemy is already afraid of us. The enemy knew how powerful God was before we knew how powerful our God was. They're already fainting because they've seen what God has done, or they've heard what God has done for the children of Israel. And they're already fainting. They don't want us to cross the river. When our parents turned around and went away, I bet that was one of the happiest days of their lives. And now we're here 40 years later, and there's a guard on the wall of Jericho goes, oh no, they're back. And he goes and tells that big crowd of people that used to follow God and they got just turned around and went the other way. They're back again. They're standing by the river again. Oh, great. This is the people that have that God that does all these mighty things. Yeah, that's the one. Well, let's sit and watch. Maybe they'll go back again. Ah, here they come across the river. Oh, man, we're in trouble. They knew it. They knew they were in trouble. The people, the unsaved people, knew they were in trouble before the people of God knew what kind of God they had. And they realized, we have nothing to fear. The same God that brought us here is going to bring us over there. And He's going to be with us. He's going to lead us and guide us and protect us. They had the same choices to make as their parents did. They got up to the Jordan River and they said, our way isn't going to work. We've seen that already. Only God's way is going to work. This is a personal thing each one of us has to make. This is a personal decision. Do we want to trust God and go over Jordan? And they all decided to. There's no sign of anybody murmuring. Imagine if there's one guy who says, well, you remember what happened before? Shut up. You know, hey, take him out back, would you? We don't need him around here. But they were going to trust God and they were going to cross over Jordan. They'd been given, they realized God was not only a just God, was not only a right God, but He was a merciful God in giving them another chance to do what's right. They knew they had nothing to fear with God on their side. They had the same choices to make as their parents, but these are the things they had learned. Are they going to follow man or follow God? Are they going to fear man or fear God? What about salvation? You think you got a better way than God does? Have you made it a personal thing? A personal relationship with God? How about God's will? You struggling with crossing over? You going to fear God or you going to fear man? Well, where am I going to get the money? You going to fear God or you going to fear man? You going to follow God or follow man? He'll provide. He will take care of you. He said He will. How about your family? You got some decisions you need to make with your family? Are you going to follow God or are you going to follow man? Are you too busy to bring God into your family life? How about church? Well, I got a better job in another state. Is there a good church? My dad said many, many years ago, my dad told us, it's going to get to the point where you're going to have to look for a church instead of look for a job. He said, you're going to have to go, even if your company came up to you and said, we're going to double your salary, we're going to move you to this area. Is there a church you can go to? A job, you can make all the money in the world, but are you going to lose your family over it? Is there going to be a church where you can say, this is where I want my family. This is a good church where I can build a solid foundation for my family. They teach the truth. They search the scriptures. They tell me what's right. But are you going to sacrifice that for a six-figure income? Money is fleeting. Money gathers, it takes wings and flies away. It's like the eagle. It's just, why? What are you going to trust? Are you going to follow man or are you going to follow God? Are you going to fear man or are you going to fear God? The children of Israel finally learned their lessons. But it took 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. You're going to make it a choice today in your own personal life in many areas whether you're going to wander in the wilderness or you're going to cross over and get the victory. Let's make the right choice. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this day. Thank You for the Word of God, for the truth that is in it. Lord, and I pray now as that we sing another hymn here in part ways. Lord, I just pray that we think about how good You've been to us. And Lord, I just pray that we'd realize that doing what you want us to do has eternal benefits, not just immediate. Lord, I pray now that you'd be with us the rest of this day. Bless the preaching in your name. Amen. All right, let's stand and take your hymn books. Turn to 251. Number 251. Maybe you're here today and you're not saved. Maybe you never accepted Christ. Maybe you have no idea what we're talking about. If you have any questions, you can come right now and we'll have somebody take you in a private room and talk to you about how you can know for sure you have Christ as your Savior. Maybe there's somebody here today that's struggling with the will of God for their lives or decisions to make in their lives that would have a great impact on not only themselves, but their families or people around them. Make sure you've prayed about it. Make sure you got it right. Make sure you're in line with the Word of God and not with what man's got to say. Man can influence you so many ways. We hear of peer pressure and we get afraid of what men's comments are, what their opinions are of us, and when it gets down to the end, it's not going to matter. It's not going to matter one bit what man has to say about us. So I pray as we go our separate ways today, Lord, I just ask that you just think about it, pray about it. If you've got decisions to make, ask your brothers and sisters to pray about it with you. And let's go ahead and sing the last verse. I just wanted to thank you personally for coming out. I know pastor's gone, and we have a good pastor and a good preacher, and I just appreciate you coming out, especially with the cold out. You think of a lot of reasons why not to come today, and I appreciate your faithfulness. And remember, we got a prayer meeting at 5:30, men and ladies, if you care to join us. And then 6 o'clock tonight, Brother Caribou's going to be preaching. You don't want to miss that. That'll be a blessing. And so make sure you come back tonight at 6 and join us. All right. Go ahead. You're dismissed. Thank you for coming.